The Monday, May 14th, 2012, regular meeting number 2012-13 will please come to order. I'd ask that you all rise and join with me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, if you'd call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Here.
Ms. Crane?
Here.
Ms. Danner?
Here.
Mr. Dibdahl?
Here.
Mr. Keel?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here.
Mr. Stone?
Here.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Present.
Mayor Botello?
Here.
You have a quorum.
That brings us to our special order of business tonight. Madam Manager.
And I will turn over to Craig Duncan, please.
Yeah. Good evening. I would also like to ask our purchasing officer, Ann Stadnichenko, to come forward. And along with Ann, I'd like to have Diane Andreessen, our buyer, come forward. And it's always a pleasure for me to be able to recognize staff. And what we're doing tonight is we're recognizing Diane Andreessen. After many years as a buyer for the City and Borough Purchasing Division, she's retiring from the city's operations. And in planning for this recognition, I asked Ann to give me her thoughts in regards to Diane's her experiences and thoughts about Diane's performance over the years. And so she gave me a whole list of things and accomplishments, which I'm not going to go through tonight because there are really quite a few of them. And so what I thought I would do is just sort of talk about Diane as an employee. And as it noted last week, the mayor put out a notice saying it's the Public Service Recognition Proclamation and that our staff are dedicated to providing quality public service. And I certainly agree with that statement, but also want to add that we also have staff that really go above and beyond. They're really outstanding, and they really make a difference in our day-to-day operation. And that's what we have here with Diane. She's one of those employees. And in her 16 years with the purchasing division, she's shown herself to be an outstanding employee who's always been there providing the service necessary to make the city's operations move forward. She's shown a dedication to providing quality and timely public service, and she truly has the city's best interest at heart. And so I would really just like to thank Diane Andreessen for all the hard work that she's done, and then I understand that Ann has a few things she'd like to say.
So, Diane, when I think about all the work that you've done for the city, I think of one word, passion. So I Googled passion, and I wanted to find out some quotes associated with that word. So I thought I'd read you some of them because I think they really do describe Diane's work. The secret of joy in work is contained in one word, excellence, to know how to do something well and to enjoy it, Pearl S. Buck. Enthusiasm is the difference between mediocrity and accomplishment, Norman Vincent Peale. Pleasure in the job puts perfection in the work, Aristotle. I know that I have found fulfillment. I have an object in life, a task, a passion, George said. Your work is to discover your work, and then with all your heart to give yourself to it, Buddha. One person with passion is better than 40 people merely interested. E.M. Forster, English novelist. Chase your passion, not your pension. Dennis Waitley, motivational speaker. There's nothing in the middle of the road but yellow stripes and dead armadillos. Jim Hightower, radio commentator, author. I have no special talents. I am only passionately curious. Albert Einstein. And last but not least, I love this job. Diane Andreessen, buyer, CBJ Purchasing.
Ann, you don't get to... Diane. Ann, could you catch Diane, get her up here? Diane, thank you very much. What are you going to do? Have they already enlisted you on 45?
Thank you for your service.
Best of luck, Diane.
Thank you. Thank you. You can always come back.
Thank you very much.
Great work.
That brings us next on our agenda to approval of the minutes. We have first before us the minutes of the April 18, 2012, special meeting 2012-10. Are there any additions or corrections? Ms. Danner.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. For the April 18th minutes, on page 4, second paragraph from the bottom, last line, the sentence starts, that was the piece that caused the last error action for the assembly. That should be the last executive session for the assembly, where she was surprised by the agenda. Page 4, bottom of the last paragraph, replace the words error action with executive session.
Any objection? Further corrections?
Yes, continuing, if I may. Page 6. This is just below the center, the paragraph that starts, Ms. Danner said the transcript was correct. Second line from the bottom, she said she did not mean intentionally or unintentionally. Can we replace the word mean with said whether the law department misled them intentionally or unintentionally? I should read, let me say it again. Ms. Danner said that public speaking, oh, sorry, not that. Ms. Danner said that she did not say whether the law department misled them intentionally or unintentionally. The next paragraph.
Wait a moment. Let's get this one at a time
okay.
here. She said she did not
she
say
did not
that the department.
Say whether the law department misled them. And that all replaces the word mean.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
All right. Second paragraph from the bottom on page 6 starts, Ms. Danner addressed her apology to the city manager and the attorney. I would like to insert the words, to the city manager, she said, so that it reads, to the city manager, she said, the people of Juneau have a great deal of faith in the work that you do, and with good cause, we have a great deal for which to be proud.
Ms. Danner, my recollection is that you did not direct it simply at the city manager. And now I may stand corrected, but my memory is that it was directed to both the attorney and the city manager.
The first sentence is correct. It says, Ms. Danner addressed her apology to the city manager and the attorney. I did say that. I said, first, to the city manager, the people of Juneau have a great deal to be. And then to Mr. Hartle, she said, to the degree that she had said anything that indicated any kind of bad behavior or intentional misleading, she truly did apologize.
Just to be correct, your correction here is that you said to the city manager?
Mm-hmm. To the city manager, she said.
Say that it's not my recollection, and I'd like to be able to hear the tape. I'd ask that we defer further action on the set of minutes. Is there objection to that? We have next before us the minutes of the April 23, 2012 regular assembly meeting 2012-11. Are there any additions or corrections? Ms. Danner.
Thank you. Page 12. We're on the April 23rd minute.
Yes, we are.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm.
Page 12. Fourth paragraph, I guess. It starts, Ms. Danner provided comments in response to the discussion on the April 18th special assembly meeting. It continues. It says, her comments were quite lengthy, and in essence, they were concerning. I would like my comments to be attached and made part of the record. They were quite lengthy, and I understand that they weren't typed in word for word, but they definitely should be part of the record.
My concern with doing that is to start a practice which is akin to how the congressional record is frequently done, which is to have members make lengthy statements and then have them attach verbatim. So conceptually, I have a difficulty with that approach. If this requires more explication, again, I'm prepared to defer there, but I think it would be setting a bad precedent for us to allow members to have lengthy statements that then simply get appended to the minutes. But let me, though, allow any member to speak to that. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If we don't, I only suggest appending the statement since it is quite lengthy and it would be easier for staff if we did that. If not, then I would request that my comments be paraphrased just as the rest of the record is paraphrased.
I believe that's a reasonable request, Ms. Danner.
Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Dibdahl.
Was anything in this record affected on the consideration of appeal later in the agenda?
We are at this point simply dealing with the minutes themselves, and so while we have a matter that encompasses this discussion, I think we just treat that separately. Again, if there's not objection, ask that these minutes be deferred and with instructions for the city clerk to paraphrase the statement. Is there objection? Hearing none. Ms. Danner, any further corrections?
Just one more. It's small. Two paragraphs down. Starts with, he said, for the assembly. About the middle, there's a line said, contaminated to such an extent that where there an appeal, where should be changed to were there an appeal to be taken, this body should recuse itself.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Then we move next to the minutes of the May 2nd, 2012 special meeting, 2012-12. Are there any additions or corrections?
I just have one question, Mr. Mayor.
You have the floor.
Thank you. I'd just like to confirm. It says that the mayor attended telephonically. Was there anyone else who attended telephonically from anybody's recollection or from the clerk?
What was that meeting?
I don't think so. Anybody? Well, we're all here, or Mr. Dippel is here. Did anyone else attend telephonically? I think not. That's all I have.
Ms. Danner, the rule indicates that all other members were physically present.
Right. I was just confirming the accuracy of the minutes. I believe they're accurate. I just wanted to make sure that they were.
Again, is there objection to their adoption? Hearing none, so ordered. Madam Manager, are there any agenda changes?
No, thank you.
That brings us to that point in our meeting where we take public testimony on non-agenda items. We allocate a total of 20 minutes for this presentation. Any member of the public may address us on a matter otherwise not appearing on the agenda, and the time set aside is the number of speakers divided by the number of 20 minutes. We have six individuals who have asked to testify accordingly. Each will be allotted 3 minutes. I begin with Ms. Joy Lyon. Ms. Lyon, I know you're familiar with our process, but for others, we have a green light to go. When you have 30 seconds left, it'll go to yellow and red.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly. For the record, my name is Joy Lyon. I'm the Executive Director for the Association for the Education of Young Children, and I'm here tonight to urge you to fund the HEARTS Initiative, which will increase both the capacity and the quality of child care in our community, which, as you all know, is an urgent need in our community. So the funding we have in your packets, signed petitions from over 300 community members, employers, parents, working parents, child care providers, interested people in the community. And I really encourage you to look at the comments, because they're just really compelling stories in those comments. And funding the Hearts Initiative will increase the number of child care spaces in Juneau. Right now, there is only one space in licensed child care for every four children that have all their parents in the workforce. It will also increase the teacher qualifications. Right now in Juneau, we have only one qualified teacher for every one in five qualified teachers that have a minimum of a CDA or 12 credits in early childhood, which is considered by the state of Alaska to be minimum qualifications. And it also, the Hearts Initiative will decrease the turnover rate. The turnover rates in child care are just out of control. They're 65% turnover rate in Juneau among child care providers, whereas the rest of the state is 46%. So we really have a tougher climate for child care in general, and a stronger need for support from the city. So I know that you have a lot of really difficult budget decisions to make this year, and I want to just say that around $6,000 per year is invested in K through 12 students each year. And we're looking at, for per child for the Hearts Initiative to be implemented, would be about 1% of that, about $60 per child per year. That would really transform their education experience in the early years. So in your packets are something of a menu of the different, because we have studied the problem extensively over the last few decades, and we really have some solid solutions that have been implemented in other states and communities, and so these have really strong outcomes in other communities, and the highest priority is for the education incentives. And that's equally accessible to any child care program, whether they're a center program or a family child care program. So in this tight funding year, I just urge you to fully fund the Hearts Initiative so that children can enter kindergarten better prepared to succeed, and parents can enter the workforce secure to know that their children are in a quality learning environment. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Lyon. Are there any questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next, Ms. Samantha Adams.
So wait for the green light.
You're on.
All right. My name is Samantha Adams, and I am a local child care provider, mother, and business owner. And in our previous visit here in the Assembly, I followed up with a letter that I wrote to the Assembly on behalf of all of us in support of the Hearts Initiative, and I would just like to read that for some of you who might not have heard it, and then expand a little bit on that. Dear CBJ Assembly, I just wanted to take a moment to thank you for giving us in the early care and education profession an opportunity to present the Hearts Initiative this evening. Although I did not present any of the information, I have been able to contribute to the process by way of providing insight from the field. I also wanted to address, if I may, a couple of the questions that were asked of the presenters. Mayor Botello had asked a couple of great questions pertaining to capacity increases and how the Hearts Initiative would help those at entry level in the profession, who needed it the most but could afford it the least. I am going to answer these questions, starting with the second one first. There are currently a few funding opportunities that AEYC is already providing to early care and education professionals at both ends of the experience and education spectrum. There are limited numbers of grants and some funds for training reimbursement that are available to providers in the field. The basic requirements for eligibility are that the recipient is on the SEED registry, which is the statewide training tracking database, and that they are employed in a licensed facility. However, those funds are limited and are dispersed throughout all of Southeast. Anyone, regardless of educational level or experience, is eligible to receive and use these funds for education, professional development, training, and college tuition. There are also mini grants available that programs apply for on an individual basis that are then used to improve program quality through materials and equipment acquisition, on-site technical assistance, and training. However, these funds are also limited. As for the answer to the second question, I am going to use my own program as an example of how implementation of the HEARTS initiative can increase capacity and quality. I moved to Juneau in 2006 after having earned a bachelor's degree in technical communication. I had also completed the curriculum for a master's in the same program. My husband had accepted a job as a geologist, and we headed north from Montana to Juneau, Alaska, with two young children in tow. I had originally planned to stay home with my kids until they started school, but quickly realized, having tripled our mortgage overnight, that this was not an option. True story.
I just want to warn you about the time.
Okay. How much more time? 30 seconds? I basically started to look for child care at that time and was unable to find child care, so we converted our recently purchased home into a child care. I expanded my program in July of this year to include another group home, a 12-child group home that offers school-aged care.
Okay. You can finish your sentence, please.
Basically, I need 5 full-time staff to help me run both my programs, and if I can't afford to keep one of those people, I close my program, or I decrease my capacity from a 12-home group home to an 8-child home and then to a 5-child home. So that's what happens if I can't afford to keep staff around.
And Ms. Adams, how easy has it been for you to attract anyone?
You can. I've had people with master's degrees. I've had teachers applying for the position, and it's funny that we started off this evening by talking about passion, because that's a great thing to have, but it doesn't pay the bills. It doesn't pay the bills, and so you get people with teaching degrees and a lot of experience in early childhood, but they can't stick around and pay their bills when you can't afford to pay them what they're worth. So it's really a challenge. And then that turnover that results from not being able to retain highly qualified people impacts the children and the families. And that's what we really have to look at, is how that turnover impacts these kids.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you for your testimony. Next, Mr. Maurice Wongberg.
My name is Morris Wanberg, and I live in West Juneau. And I wanted to say something about the transit center. We have a beautiful transit center over there, but in the last 6 weeks, there's been 15 times between 4 and 6 o'clock where they were on break when they should have been there. I mean, between 4 and 6 is the busiest time. And in the nice sunny weather, it's all right. But when you get more than rarely we do, we 2 or 3 mile an hour wind with the high roofs over the benches, it just blows right in. So everybody's huddled up against the wall. And we've got a real nice U shape that just sucks the wind in. But it's wonderful to have it, and it's great to get out of the cold, but they close it and go on break. We got there at 4:45 today. The bus left at 10 after, and they were on break the whole time. So just keep it open from 4 to 6.
Thank you, Mr. Wanberg. Are there any questions for Mr. Wanberg? And Mr. Wanberg, and I again would say it to all the public, if we take this up in terms of response, it will likely be during assembly comments and questions directed to the manager. Thank you for coming in. Mr. Jeff Vogt.
Hello, I'm Jeff Vogt, here with the Friends of the Library Board. I have quite a few people out in the audience here who are associated with the library board or with the library itself. If I could see a show of hands. We also brought a whole bunch of other people with us tonight. They either have been to a library or know what a library is. So everyone here supports the library. Wanted to thank you for your support so far of our library project. We now have heard that the governor has signed the budget, and so we do have that $7 million grant that's been appropriated for the project. That coupled with the $1.3 million from the Friends and the endowment and the land that was also purchased for the library project back in the early 80s. It's been a couple years in the works here. All we need at this point in time would be to put on the 1% ballot initiative to where we can raise the other $4.7 million, and we'll have a new library in the valley. So I just want to thank you again for your support and let you know that we're on our way.
Thank you, Mr. Vogt. Are there any questions? And thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Brian Holst.
Good evening, Mayor and members of the Assembly. And if you're wearing a little button, can you please raise your hands? Very good. Okay, I'm here to speak on the...
There's some overlap in the groups here.
Very good. I'm here to make a few brief comments about the HEARTS initiative. I'm Brian Holst, live at 2000 Glacier Avenue, and I'm also the director of the Juneau Economic Development Council. We've been engaged with numerous groups, including AYC, for several years in investigating and analyzing this child care situation in Juneau. And it's a serious problem, and I know that you've been briefed on it well. We did an analysis of this problem, and we realized now, the problem that we face is that there's a lack of legal child care available in Juneau, and there are causes. It's an unattractive industry. We just heard that from somebody that's working in it, but in general, it is an unattractive industry. No, few health benefits, low salaries, long hours, few breaks. Child care facilities find it difficult to attract or retain staff. Bureaucratically, there are few incentives to become licensed. The business aspects of providing child care. Child care businesses have short lifespans. Not only is there a high turnover in the businesses and the staffing, but there's high turnover in the businesses themselves. The enterprises are low profit. We did an analysis of 11 different child care enterprises, and they are all very low money-making operations. Related to the economy, Juneau has a very high cost of living. Child care becomes extremely difficult. Typical community has 60% of their community with two income earners. Juneau has 70% of our families with two income earners because it is such a high cost of living, and not having access to child care makes that also very difficult. Many consequences of not having an adequate child care having adequate child care available makes us a less attractive place to raise families. The unlicensed facilities are in high demand. Parents accept substandard care because they have no alternatives. There's a lack of early learning programs. And Juneau business community faces increased obstacles to success. The return on investment in child care is very high. Research studies demonstrate, and I'm quoting from a study in Michigan from just this year, that investing in effective early education prevents or reduces needless public spending through the educational, social services, criminal justice systems for juveniles and adults. Early school readiness also increases future state revenues by lowering dropout rates and ensuring a skilled workforce that contributes to the tax base. Many studies on return on investment range from about $2 return to about $15 return. So I think this is a wise investment for the economy of Juneau. I hope you consider it.
Thank you, Mr. Holst. Ms. Dannard.
Thank you. Brian, do you have any information about what the average wage is for child care providers?
I do. Do you want me to give you that now?
If you have it available, it would be great to hear.
I want to say they're. I have a whole study here that we did. 11.66 an hour of the people that we interviewed, the 11 operators.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions? Thank you for your testimony. And finally, Ms. Lauren Brooks.
I'm Lauren Brooks, and I live in downtown Juneau, and I work at AEYC, the Association for the Education of Young Children. I'm the Family Services Coordinator there, and you'll notice my name at the bottom of this petition I sent out a few weeks ago, an online petition, which is why you see many of these signatures just printed instead of signed. And just within 2 weeks, we got over 250 signatures online, and then you also have some that were signed in person. And I'll just take a moment to read what people were signing. Working families in Juneau need access to quality child care. We urge the Juneau Assembly to fund the HEARTS Initiative to increase the number of licensed child care facilities and increase the recruitment and retention of qualified early childhood teachers. At approximately $60 per child, this is a wise investment in the economy and health of Juneau. I talk to parents every day who are looking for child care, and they are struggling, and they really wish that someone would have told them when they got pregnant that they needed to find childcare, because that's how long it takes, sometimes even longer. The waiting lists at centers span years. Pretty much the centers never have openings. There's scattered openings in the family child care providers. It's very difficult to find care for infants. It's very difficult to find care for kids over five. And I really want to have more options to offer parents. I provide child care referrals, so I have a list of all the licensed and approved child care providers, and I type in the database. And usually I just come up with a very few results, and the vacancies fill up pretty quickly. And so the response is overwhelming, and just like Joy said, I really encourage you to take some time to review these comments. They're very heartfelt from parents, from families, from people who their kids are grown up, but they remember what it was like back in the day when they were looking for child care. Here's a comment from one of the center directors. In the past year, I've had almost monthly revolving staff. It is stressful for both those of us who have stayed as well as the families and children that we serve. Every help we can get is greatly appreciated in the investment of our future. We have another comment. As a former WIC coordinator at Search, I've seen the struggles parents face trying to get child care arranged so they can go back to work. Work is not an option for these families. They must return to work to make ends meet. Their children deserve safe care by qualified providers. By funding this initiative, you are investing in Juneau's future. Thank you for your consideration. Please help support Juneau's working families. In order for our son to attend a quality preschool program, we are currently paying twice as much as we would for tuition, books, and fees at UAS. It truly places a burden on Juneau's young families. Let's all get behind quality, safe, affordable, and accessible child care. So this is now is the time, and it's really a great investment. There's no better investment than these young kids, and I see need for it every day, and I really want us to be able to help those parents. So you have an opportunity. It's not that expensive. It's totally worth it. I know you have a lot on your plate with the budget, but please consider this initiative.
Thank you, Ms. Brooks. Are there any questions? Again, thank you for your testimony. That concludes public participation on non-agenda items. We now move to the consent agenda. Any member of the public may ask that an item other than an ordinance for introduction be withdrawn so that testimony may be taken on that matter. We have on our consent agenda two liquor license renewals. Is there any member of the public who wishes to have either of those matters withdrawn so that testimony may be taken on them? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move the consent agenda and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to ordinances for public hearing. We have first before us Ordinance 2012-23. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance providing for the issuance and sale of a hospital revenue refunding bond in the aggregate principal amount not to exceed $28,200,000. Providing for the form and terms of the bond, providing a method of payment, therefore, and reserving the right to issue revenue bonds on a parity with the bond upon compliance with certain conditions.
Madam Manager.
The original $28.845 million CBJ revenue bond was approved for issuance on June 28, 2004. The amount being refunded is $24.57 million. If CBJ issues the refunding bonds in August of 2012, the refunding will result in an estimated total saving of $829,000 over the remaining life of the bonds. However, it's our intention to delay the issuance of these bonds as long as practical, maximize the savings. Obtaining the authorization now allows CBJ to hold the refunding transaction until it is most advantageous. The new bonds will be issued through the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank Authority to gain maximum benefit. The term of the new issue will not change. Bartlett Regional Hospital will pledge its revenues to the repayment of the revenue bond, and they have been meeting the debt service obligation for the past 7 years. The Bartlett Regional Hospital Board requested moving forward with this refunding proposal at its meeting of February 13, 2012. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2012-23? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for Assembly action. Banner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would move Ordinance 2012-23 for the purpose of discussion.
You have the floor.
I just have two questions. First, is there any potential downside? And second, what happened 7 years ago?
Mr. Duncan.
If I can ask for some clarification to your, both your questions, when you say is there any downside, the downside of issuing the bonds now or issuing the bonds later?
Just the refinancing entirely. It's just a question of, we all know that if we can get an advantageous rate, it's a good thing for
yep.
the city. And my question is there any downside?
To the mayor, no, we would only issue the bonds if there was a net savings to the hospital.
And then the other question is, it says that the hospital has been meeting its bond obligations for the last 7 years. Did something happen 7 years ago, or is their current bond only 7 years old?
The debt service is only 7 years old.
Okay. That's all I need. Thank you.
Further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to Ordinance 2012-24. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending the land use code regarding zoning districts.
Madam Manager.
This ordinance would significantly increase residential density limits and add 10 feet to height limits in the light commercial, general commercial, mixed use two zoning districts. The ordinance would also reduce the minimum lot size in the mixed use and mixed use two zones. The proposal would facilitate construction of more affordable market rate housing complexes in Juneau. The Planning Commission recommended its action and its March 27, 2012 meeting. The Lands Committee recommended this action at its April 9, 2012 meeting, and the Affordable Housing Commission supported this ordinance at its May 8th meeting. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on Ordinance 2012-24? Mr. Heumann, please come forward.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm Bill Heumann. I live at 6000 Thane Road. I've been a builder, developer, and landlord in Juneau for about the last 30 years and constructed somewhere around 350 dwellings. And I'm here tonight. I want to support to the ordinance that's before you, and I hope that you approve it. I've been out of town for a couple months, and I frankly wasn't aware that any of this was taking place till about 3 or 4 days ago. And had I been here, I would have tried to see a few changes. My concerns are that there's more that we can be doing besides just this to make housing available to Juneau residents. Specifically speaking, in my case, I own 2 acres, or I have an interest in 2 acres in Auk Bay that's zoned commercial waterfront. It's not included in the ordinance tonight. I stopped in this afternoon and spoke with a couple planners about what development possibilities I would have with that particular piece of land. It's really, I think, in my mind, quite interesting. I can build right now about 34 condo units on 2 acres. I could also build, along with those 34 condo units, a hotel and a commercial development. So I could have a combined development of 34 condos plus what is stated as an unlimited number of hotel rooms. Now, that would, practically speaking, be limited by what I could build on the site and also parking spaces. But there's, beyond that, there's no limitation at all. And that becomes a very, I guess I'd say intense development on the site, which I don't think is a bad thing. But what's bothering me about this is I'm not interested in building a hotel, and I'm not interested in building commercial space. I'm interested in building condos. And the idea that I can only build 18 condos, but I can build all this other stuff, but if I don't build it, I can still only build 18 condos. And that, to me, doesn't make sense. I mean, I look at more, you should look at the site and what intensity of development is suitable for that site, and not be saying that it has to be, it's okay if you build hotel rooms, but it's not okay if you build condo rooms. I think that's kind of counterintuitive to what we're trying to accomplish here. And I don't think that there's any opposition in the planning department from what I could see to the rationale behind this. And so what I'm hoping is that the last thing I'd want to ask you to do tonight is change anything that's before you, because I don't think that'll happen. But I would like to think that it would be possible that you could direct the planning department to take a look at, beyond what you're doing tonight or what you may do tonight, and see if there, I think there's other areas that warrant the same kind of attention that has been given to these zoning districts that are being addressed tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Gibbon. Are there any questions?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there any other member of the public who wishes to testify on this ordinance? Again, I call members' attention. We did receive email from Mr. Sievertson in our packet tonight on this matter. There being no further public testimony, we're ready for assembly action. Ms.
Becker. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move ordinance 2012-24 and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next to ordinance 2011-10A, version B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating and de-appropriating funds for FY12 school district operations.
Madam Manager.
These current year budget adjustments are requested by the school district due to student enrollment falling short of projections, which reduces both the state funding, foundation funding, and the CBJ allowable support to education for operations, to an increase in the state contribution for PERS, TERS, and other changes in user fees in state and federal grants. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on ordinance 2011-10-AB? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of ordinance 2011-10-AB and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to unfinished business. We have first before us ordinance 2012-21B. Madam Clerk.
An ordinance appropriating funds from the Treasury for FY13 school district operations.
Madam Manager.
Since this ordinance was introduced on April 4, 2012, the state adopted changes to the Education Foundation funding formula and provided one-time assistance, which impacts the school district's FY13 budget. Version B before you reflects those changes and would appropriate an FY13 operating budget of $92,475,700 to the school district. On May 2, 2012, the Assembly Finance Committee referred the school district's FY13 budget request to the Assembly for adoption. I recommend this ordinance be adopted.
Is there any member of the public who wishes to testify on ordinance 2012-21B? Seeing none, public participation is closed. We're ready for assembly action. Ms. Crane.
I move adoption of ordinance 2012-21B and ask for unanimous consent.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. That brings us next on our agenda to new business. We have first before us appeal of the conditional use permit SGE 2011-3 Montana Creek Rock Crusher. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. After careful consideration, I have chosen to stand with my neighbors as they appeal the Planning Commission decision to allow a rock crusher in a D3 zone. That's not an easy decision. Because of this, I have increased the level of difficulty from 5 out of 9 votes to 5 out of 8. Harder yet, for a person of strong convictions, I give up the right to discuss this matter with all of you and abandon nearly all hope that you will see what I see from my side of this complicated thing between us. But I have no choice. I was raised from an early age to stand by my principles, and that is what I must do now. As an appellant in this case, therefore, I must recuse myself from sitting with you in your role as appeal board, should you agree to hear this appeal.
Ms. Danner has disclosed that she has a conflict of interest. It's my ruling that she does. I ask that the body concur. Is there objection? And thank you, Ms. Danner, and I ask you to stand down. With that, Madam Manager, if you could read the report.
On April 10, 2012, the Planning Commission approved a conditional use permit, SGE 2011-0003, for sand and gravel extraction activity along Montana Creek Road at the West Glacier Borough Pit Lot 1. The notice of decision in this matter was signed and filed with the clerk's office on April 12, 2012. On May 2, 2012, Peggy Mattson, Richard Mattson, and George Danner III filed a timely notice of appeal signed by 42 concerned parties. The notice of appeal and the notice of decision are in your packet. The Assembly is the appeal agency for this appeal, and its actions throughout the appeal process are governed by CBJ 01.50, the appellant code. The code requires that upon receiving an appeal, the Assembly must first decide whether to accept it or reject it. The standards applicable to this decision are set forth in CBJ 01-50-030E. Action by appeal agency must, upon receipt of a notice of appeal, within, number one, within 30 days of receipt of a notice of appeal by the appeal agency, the appeal agency must notify the applicant of the acceptance or rejection of the appeal, and if rejected, the reasons for the rejection. Number two, the notice of appeal shall be liberally construed in order to preserve the rights of the appellant. The appellant agency may reject the appeal for failure to comply with these rules, or if the notice of appeal does not stand grounds upon which any of all the relief requested may be granted. The appellants, the permit holder, and the Planning Commission have been advised that this matter is before the Assembly. The following procedural issues should be decided. Number one, will the Assembly accept the appeal? Number two, will the Assembly hear the appeal itself or assign a hearing officer? And number three, if the Assembly hears the appeal itself, will the mayor preside or will he designate another member or presiding officer? This matter is before the Assembly sitting as a quasi-judicial capacity. Accordingly, members should avoid discussing the case outside the hearing procedure. Because this isn't, do you want me to read the rest of it too?
You can go with your.
Okay, it's my recommendation. Because this is an appeal, I have no recommendation on whether or how the Assembly should hear the appeal.
My recommendation to the body is that we accept the appeal and refer to a hearing officer. Let me ask if there are any members who wish to discuss either of those points further. Is there objection to that course of action? Hearing, Mr. Hartle?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In anticipation, that was my recommendation as well, that it go to a hearing officer. And in anticipation of that possibly happening, I contacted Michael Lesmeyer of the firm Lesmeyer & Winters and asked him if he could serve as the hearing officer. He indicated that he would be willing to do so, and it's my recommendation that he be appointed to serve as the hearing officer in this case.
Mr. Hartle, I assume that reflects that he has reviewed the named appellants and concluded that there is no conflict.
That's correct. And I should add, he's an extremely qualified attorney, has served as an arbitrator in any number of cases, and I think could do an excellent job handling the appeal.
Is there any objection to Mr. Hartle's recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered. Is there anything further with regard to this matter that the body needs to take up, Madam Manager?
No, thank you.
Mr. Hartle?
No, thank you.
Then, Ms. Danner, if you could rejoin us, please. That brings us to the second appeal of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 302, appeal of the Personnel Board decision and order on petition for bargaining unit filed by the airport field maintenance employees dated April 20th, 2012. Madam Manager.
On April 20, 2012, the Personnel Board issued its final decision and order on petition for bargaining unit filed by the airport field maintenance. The petitioner, International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 302, AFL-CIO, filed a timely notice of appeal of the decision with the Municipal Clerk's Office on Wednesday, May 9, 2012. The notice of appeal and notice of decision are in your packet. The Assembly is the appeal agency for this appeal, and its actions throughout the appeal process are governed by CBJ 0150, the appellant code. Because this is an appeal, I have no recommendation on whether or how the Assembly should hear the appeal.
Pleasure of the Assembly. Mr. Keel.
Mr. Mayor, I would move that the Assembly accept the appeal.
Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Next question before the body is whether we should hear the matter ourselves or assign it to hearing officer. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move that the Assembly hear the appeal itself and that the mayor serve as the hearing officer.
I object.
Objection. Would you like to any discussion on the matter?
If I may, I simply believe that it's incredibly difficult for the Assembly to serve for the mayor to serve as the hearing officer. Should have probably thought this out first, shouldn't I? Well, our system, our process, should not be structured in a way that those who are involved in the decision making are also involved in the appeal itself. And I believe that if we have a hearing officer from outside of the city, we will not have the same conflict of interest that our attorney would have in leading us through this process.
Further discussion? Mr. Hurdle?
There's a distinction that I think needs to be made between hearing officer and presiding officer on appeal. Those are two different things. The last appeal was assigned to a hearing officer who would hold the hearing himself and reach a conclusion, which, by the way, will come back to the Assembly for ratification or not. In this case, the motion, I believe, from Mr. Wanamaker has been what's happened in many, many appeals, where the mayor is designated as the presiding officer on appeal. He wouldn't hear the case. He just holds the initial hearing, the pre-hearing conference, and kind of guides the case through the Assembly. It's a somewhat different role than a hearing officer. The terms are so similar, I didn't want the Assembly to be confused.
Further discussion? There is objection. Madam Clerk, if you call the roll, please.
Ms. Becker?
Yes.
Ms. Crane?
Yes.
Ms. Danner?
No.
Mr. Dibdow?
Yes.
Mr. Keel?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Wanamaker?
Yes.
Mayor Botello?
Yes.
Motion carries.
That brings us next on our agenda to staff reports. Madam Manager?
None, thank you.
Mr. Attorney?
No, thank you, Mr.
Then we turn next to committee reports, and I begin with the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole will meet on the 21st at 6 p.m.
Thank you. That brings us next to Human Resources Committee. Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Human Resources Committee did not meet this evening. The next meeting is scheduled for Monday, June 4th at 5:30 in the Assembly Chambers.
Thank you. That brings us next to Lands and Resources Committee. Ms. Becker. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
At the April 30th meeting, the Lands Committee passed a motion of support for a no-cost 50-year lease to facilitate redevelopment of the JYS Cornerstone Building at the corner of Hurlock Avenue and Mendenhall Loop Road. The new lease would expand the existing lease site by 12,000 square feet. The committee also directed the law department to draft an ordinance and a resolution for submittal to the Planning Commission and recommendation to the Assembly.
Ms. Becker.
Is there any objection to that?
Is there objection to the request? Hearing none, so
thank you. The Lands Committee and the Public Works Committee had a joint meeting, which I think I reported on last time. We will have another one on May 16th at noon in the chambers to hear information on potential municipal land and CIP projects that will support affordable housing. These committees met on April 18th to receive information on the need for affordable housing, the municipal buildable land supply, and completed CIP projects that have accommodated residential density increases in North Douglas and West Mendenhall Valley. Thank you. That's all.
That brings us next to Finance Committee. Ms. Crane.
Just a reminder that there is a meeting this Wednesday evening at 5:30.
And finally, our Public Facilities, Public Works and Facilities Committee, Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Public Works and Facilities hold a joint meeting with the Lands Committee at noon on this coming Wednesday to discuss housing options in the city and borough of Juneau. And then the Public Works and Facilities Committee will have its own meeting on noon on the 21st. Thank you.
And with that, we turn to liaison reports. Mr. Wanamaker?
No report tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Smith?
No report, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Keel?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Briefly, the Affordable Housing Commission did meet, welcomed a new member.
New mayor will be coming shortly.
More's the pity. Before... We were on Affordable Housing Commission. Let's try that again. They formulated a recommendation to this week's joint meeting of the Lands and Public Works Facilities Committee about affordable housing land owned by the city that would be suitable for affordable housing, recommended sort of a priority order for some of those parcels that have been studied, and also did significant work refining the commission's task list. It was impressive to see the number of things that have been checked off of that task list over the last few years, as the commission has worked with the assembly and its committees and with city staff at great length to help remove barriers where possible and encourage the development of more housing in our community. The Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee also met last week, had a lengthy retreat. I regret that it was overlapped with the Affordable Housing Commission's meeting, and so I got to the end of it and saw the results of a long and detailed look at the parks and recreation assets of the city. But they set a number of priorities, and it's an energetic group. They're looking forward to working with us on sales tax proposals and working with city staff on the direction of our some of our quality of life improvements in the next few years.
Thank you, Mr. Keel. Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane.
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Sustainability Committee will have their next meeting this Wednesday, continuing discussion on the Climate Action Plan. And they will be meeting with the Green Team on June 20th with the location to be determined. The Alaska Committee, our mayor presented information about the Petersburg annexation today, or at the last meeting, excuse me, not today, last week. The Alaska Committee budget is going to be presented this Wednesday to the Finance Committee, and plans are continuing for the two fairs, Fairbanks and Palmer. Docks and Harbor. We approved the Mike Pusage Douglas Harbor at our last meeting, and the Pusage family has requested permission to privately fund some interpretive signs to be mounted in the harbor. And the port engineer is providing guidance to the family. Another simulation was run successfully on May 2nd using the fishing vessel Good Partner, which is an 84-foot vessel. After receiving a letter from Hank Baumgard acknowledging the simulation, Docks and Harbor will go back to the Planning Commission for a conditional use permit. Aurora Harbor has received two RFPs for the work at Aurora Harbor, and they are working now to select. Senator Egan's office was successful in turning around this error in the conveyance of the land, and that has been accomplished. There's a survey error, and now he has resolved it. The tidelines will be turned over. And that's all. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Danner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Juneau International Airport is pleased to welcome the President's own U.S. Marine Band Jazz Combo, who will be performing a free lunch concert in the baggage claims area as part of Juneau Jazz and Classics this Thursday, May 17th, from noon to 1, and it's free, and everyone is welcome. The next meeting for the Juneau International Airport will be on June 13th at 7 p.m. Then I also attended the LEPC, Local Emergency Preparedness Committee, meeting last May 9th at noon at Bartlett Hospital. Two topics worthy of a note are at the Biennial Emergency Preparedness Conference, much was made of the ICE training, and I'm sorry, I can't tell you what those initials stand for, but it is emergency training that is available online for everyone free. All city officials and employees in particular should have training in this ICE training, and it's available online. And then the second item is Emergency Food Subcommittee has changed their regular meetings to the last Thursday of each month from 11 a.m. until noon at the Bill Ray Center, and everyone is welcome. Their next meeting is also June 13th, but at noon at the Bartlett Regional Hospital in room 204 A and B. And that's all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Stone.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hospital Board, their last meeting, they spent really a fair amount of time on two topics. One was the fiscal year 13 budget, which the Finance Committee heard from, and they're also very active in their search for a new Chief Executive Officer.
With that, we turn to Assembly comments and questions. Mr. Wanamaker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to express my appreciation to the city staff and the other members of the Assembly for all the courtesies assistance provided to me so that I could teleconference during my brother's lengthy illness and his recent passing. Thank you all very, very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Smith.
No comments.
Mr. Keel.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Two, perhaps three brief comments. I was privileged, along with a couple of other Assembly members, to attend the Blessing of the Fleet, I guess weekend before last. It's a wonderful annual event, and it was put on with style and aplomb in less than ideal weather, but that doesn't seem to dampen enthusiasm for our commercial fishing community, and I've always appreciated that. It's always very enjoyable. In a roughly similar vein, Juneau will be privileged next week to host one of the moving walls, the Vietnam War Memorial. And I believe that will be set up in the Vintage Business Park area midweek. The wreath laying ceremony has been rescheduled for Wednesday at 11 a.m. And I'd encourage anyone who can make it to attend. That's a powerful memorial. And then the last thing is in the realm of a small detail. I just wanted to clarify Ms. Becker's comment that the bill that will, among other things, convey a Tidelands parcel is ready to be transmitted to the governor still needs a signature. It's these little details that can hang us up. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Dibdahl.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Ms. Crane.
Nothing. Thank you.
Ms. Becker.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm wondering if what the process would be to take up Mr. Heumann's suggestion that the Planning Committee, Community Development, look at the density for commercial waterfront and see if there's something they would like to suggest. If you could tell me.
Let me ask, does any member object to request the city manager explore those standards with respect to areas outside the district we acted on tonight? Mr. Keel?
Only that I think we did act on that waterfront commercial zoning area tonight. So, Mr. Heumann's, no objection to looking into Mr. Heumann's request.
Request. Yes, okay. Is there objection? Hearing none.
Got it. Thank you.
Ms. Becker?
No, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Tanner?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. An executive session is planned for this evening at the end of public comments or assembly comments. Matters have come to light that are deeply disturbing to me. And I would move that we discuss them also tonight in our executive session. And if there's no objection, I would suggest that they come first on the agenda. These are personnel matters involving two individuals, the immediate knowledge of which would tend to defame or prejudice their reputation.
Mr. Hart?
That would be a perfectly appropriate subject for an executive session. Personnel matters always are.
Again, any objection to adding that matter to the agenda? Hearing none, so ordered. Anything further?
That's all.
Mr. Stone?
I have nothing, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
I'd simply alert the Assembly to the action taken by the Alaska Redistricting Board today, which in complying with the Supreme Court's order last week actually conferred today and has redrawn Southeast districts in a way that current House District 4 remains intact but will expand northward, westward in the valley and sweep in Fritz Cove area. Did I say House District 4? I meant House District 3. House District 4, current one, will actually now encompass areas, most of the valley, and areas northward. It would also include Skagway, Haines, and Gustavus. And so, again, it is in one respect not much different from option A, what the that we had proposed earlier. However, our configurations had tried to look at entire Southeast Alaska with the assumption that any plan for Southeast had to take into account the Voting Rights Act. The directive from the Supreme Court was, with respect to Southeast Alaska, that the board constrain itself to Alaska constitutional provisions and not include consideration of the Voting Rights Act. In any event, there will be an opportunity for parties to appeal that decision on an expedited basis. The court is obviously conscious that it needs to act itself in a manner that allows for candidates to know what their districts are and for the Division of Elections to be able to move ahead to conduct primary and general on a timely basis. Are there any additional comments, concerns? If not, we have before us personnel issues, the Petersburg annexation and waterfront land negotiations. My recommendation is that we change the order somewhat. We have the personnel matter. We take up the waterfront land negotiations and then Petersburg annexation so that one of our members will have the ability to recuse himself and not have to hang around. Well, voice coming. Go ahead.
Just because. My name is Joyce Thorson, teacher at Yokuskida-Kahiti, and I thought that tonight is the last night that my government students will be coming to observe the governmental process. And so I thought I'd just let you know that there are 6 students here again tonight, and it'll be the last group until I see you next year with my government students. And I want to thank you for them getting to see the process here and thank them for coming to see government in action. So thank you.
And welcome to you, students, and I hope that we see you on many occasions in your coming years. With that, we have those three topics. Let me ask whether any member of the public wishes to testify on the propriety of an executive session for any of the three topics outlined. First, personnel matter. Second, the waterfront land negotiations. And third, Petersburg annexation. Seeing none, public participation is closed. Is there objection to the executive session? Hearing none, so ordered. That will require all members of the public to exit the chambers. We'll take a 3-minute at ease, members.